All right, we've been talking about Paul's mixed multitude, and we got through the first three lessons, 1A and 1B and part 2. This is part 3. I hope we can make a little better time today and not take as long doing it. But we had closed talking about what happens when a person, In the context of a dispensation of the gospel of Christ that Paul talks about for that time between Acts 13 and Acts 19, during that time, what happened when he would go to a town and preach the gospel and folks believed? Well, that's the first part, believed. We covered that last time, and we're going to start with the second part today, part held with the Jews, and part they divided from the part that held with the apostles. And that was generally so. I mean, often in Paul's ministry, when he'd go and preach the gospel of God about who Jesus is, they would split. They would there would be some that would believe, and some would be arrogantly opposed and belligerent about it even. So that's the second thing, part they would divide. Thirdly, some would consort with Paul. The believers would consort with Paul, whether they were called in circumcision or called in uncircumcision. If they believed the gospel of God, they would leave the synagogue and consort with Paul, meet with Paul. They departed the synagogue. They separated. That's number five, separated. And we'll get to that and explain what each of these words mean. They're biblical words, but they become clearer as we see the way they're used. And sixthly, lastly, would be they clave to Paul. So let's talk about part held with... let's read the verse. Acts 14, verse 4 explains it without me going into detail on without the scripture. Let's use the scripture. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. Let's look at a couple other verses, and they'll help us understand and see the flow of it, the commonness, I guess you could say. 2 Corinthians 6:15. And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or Satan? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? So there should be a division there. In fact, you know, if you look in Leviticus 20, verses 24 to 26, God called the believers, at that time it was Israel, to be separate, to be not... not like the world, not part of the world. 2 Timothy 1:13. Thank you, Ed. Posting those verses helps. 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. Boy, that says a lot, doesn't it? Paul speaking, we are to hold fast Paul's words. The form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So hold with Paul's words, listen carefully to the remaining groups of verses and their common emphasis. We get down to the third item that happens when a church heard the gospel and some believed. The third item would be they consorted, and we'll get to, we can look it up, Acts 17, starting in verse 4, but let me just give a Webster's dictionary definition of consort. It's a transitive verb to unite or associate. Starting in Acts 17:4, and then we'll jump down to Acts 17:16 and 17, total of three verses here. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude. And of the chief women, not a few. And then down to Acts 17:16. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him, and when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry, everywhere. Verse 17, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. If you remember when we went through the study on the Greeks, who are the Greeks in the Bible, this is one of the places that they're talked about but not named. Synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons. That's talking about people that are not Jews. Jews are already mentioned. The Jews and with the devout persons. So they're non-Jews, they're Gentiles, or uncircumcision. And yet they're devout, they're godly, they want to come to God, God's way. And before Paul, God's way was to come through Israel and Israel's doctrine, Israel's covenants, to bless Israel, Genesis 12:3. Not that way anymore. Israel fell in Acts 7. You can read about it, Acts 7, according to Matthew 12, verses 31 and 32. So, let me read these last two verses again. Now, while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue of the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Okay. So, there was a meeting. Paul, him is Paul. Them that met with him would be the believers, the devout persons and the Jews that believed. In Athens, there weren't many. You get down to, I think it's 32 or 33, the last couple verses of that chapter, Acts 17, and you find out their names. We read them yesterday, I think. Let me just find them as long as I'm talking about them. 17. It tells that when they heard it, what the reaction was in Athens, he preached to them about Jesus, who he was, that he was the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, "We will hear of this. We will hear thee again on this matter." 32, so 33 and 34 are what's left. So what happened? Did they get to hear the gospel of salvation after they rejected the gospel of God? No. It says so, or in other words, because they mocked, because they wouldn't hear it, Paul departed from them. But those few, it says there were some that met with him in Paul's meeting there in the market. Howbeit certain men clave unto Paul. There's our word clave that we're talking about now, or it'll be in part 6 here. Clave unto him, and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. So it was a minority, but there were some that believed. And I have no doubt that the ones that believed when Paul preached that Jesus was the Son of God, resurrected from the dead, and was the Jewish Messiah, was the Messiah of God sent to earth, that the ones that believed that got to hear that Christ died for your sins. Believe on him to life everlasting. Be saved today. It's not recorded here, though. It's just... That's what he was going there for. He was going to find out who would be receptive by preaching the gospel of God, and then afterwards he preached the gospel of Christ. And if you're not familiar with those terms, gospel of God is defined in Romans 1, the first four verses, 1 through 4. And the gospel of Christ is 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, God's power to save us. All right, in Acts 17:4, the first verse of those three that we read, they consorted with Paul after they heard and believed Paul's preaching of the gospel of God. Not saved yet. There's nothing in the gospel of God that saves. Nothing claims to save in the gospel of God. It just tells who Jesus is, which we need to know, but it's not a salvation verse or gospel. Most of them that heard that mocked, as we heard. So let's go on. What happened? They departed. Departed is the key word here. Let's read Acts 18, verse 7. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. Now this was in Acts 18, it's Corinth, and Paul presented the gospel of God, and some believed, some didn't, and they had to leave. They went to a man's house named Justus that was, how would you describe it? It was like a duplex. It was on the other side of the wall from the synagogue. And that close proximity is why you hear in Corinth, the what's the word? Multitude, the manyness. I know there's a word, but that there was so much. The Lord gave so many signs, tongues, etc., to win those synagogue Jews across the wall there. There was no air conditioning back then. The windows open. They could hear what was going on. And, you know, tongues are a sign not for them to believe, but for the unbelieving. And unbelieving who? Unbelieving Jews. It's the Jews that require a sign. 1 Corinthians 1:17. So, 122. Let's look in, I think it's in Ephesus, if I'm correct, Acts 19, verse 9. And when divers were hardened and believed not, so Paul had preached the gospel of God, who Jesus is, there were a variety of people, there were some diverse people were hardened against it, and they believed not, but spake evil of that way, before the multitude, he departed. There's that departed again. He departed from them and separated, that's the next one, separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. So in the school of Tyrannus, that would be probably a name of a storefront or something. And he was teaching, and he would rent out auditorium that he had or whatever it was, and Paul went there, and I don't know if it was an auditorium or a circle of chairs or what, but that's the identity of the place where they would meet then after they left the synagogue. Number 5, separated. Acts 19:9, the one we just read. Divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude. He departed from them and separated the disciples. This is common. I mean, it's either not mentioned what happened, or when it is mentioned, this is what happened. Disputing daily in the school of Tyrannus. So, and then there's also the thought that God wanted his people to be separate. He said, "Be ye separate." Let's look at some of the references about that concept of separating and that background that Paul had and that the Jews in the synagogues were aware of, too. Isaiah 52:11. Depart ye, go ye out from hence, from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean, that bear the vessels of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 2 Corinthians 7:1, we'll read this series of verses here. You'll hear the same theme going through them. Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, and what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. This is Paul during a dispensation of the gospel. He's dispensing the gospel of Christ, and it was before he was sent to all people. It was before the gospel of the grace of God, and he's talking to Jews that have just come out of the synagogues and come into his meetings. And I lost a train of thought here. Let me go back a little bit. Come out, be separate. This is Old Testament writings that he's quoting, bringing to their attention. He's not saying that they're saved by being separate or anything like that. He's talking to saved people in the Corinth meeting there that was meeting in that house joined hard to the synagogue. So, but the separateness is the characteristic we're looking at there. If 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 7:1 was written, if it was written in a dispensation of the gospel, then sometimes Paul would be using scripture that only applies to Jews and to Greeks. However, if 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 7:1 that we just read was written in the dispensation of the grace of God, then Paul would not be using scripture that applies to Jews and to Greeks. Well, as it turns out, as we just saw, 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 7:1, in those verses, Paul does not use scripture that was he uses the scripture that applies only to Jews and Greeks, not to everybody, put it that way. So that fits the first of the two conditions mentioned above. 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 7:1 was written in a dispensation of the gospel, which is also the other side of that. A dispensation of the gospel is God's way of referring to that period when he was working with God and with man in a particular way. The body of Christ had started. The gospel was the gospel we're saved by today. The gospel message, at least. It was called the gospel of Christ then. But, lost my train of thought again. I don't like that. But, I know what I was going to say. On the other side, on Israel's side, during that dispensation of the gospel, that was called a work, and it was prophesied in Habakkuk 1:5. It was a prophesied time for them, and the Jews and the Greeks during that period were prophesied in Deuteronomy. What was it? We looked it up twice in recent days. I think it's 32, verse 21. So, it was written to the Jews and to the Greeks. And we're not Jews or Greeks. Even if we descended from Jacob, Israel has fallen. So it doesn't apply to us indirectly, put it that way. It is doctrine for us to be aware of, though, and a lot of it is excellent advice. I mean, it's godly advice. But it's for those that had been under the law or you know, when it was written, they were still under the law. When it was written, from which Paul quoted, the synagogues that Paul preached the gospel of God in, they were apostate against Jesus Christ synagogues. Let's look at verses that show that. You talk about the Jews and you think that's a, you know, that's God's religion, but in the synagogues and in the temple and in the Jews' council, the high priest, they were all against Jesus. Look at John 9:22. These words spake his parents, the Queen of Heaven. Yeah, they made a verbal choice against God and for the Queen of Heaven and baking their cakes, etc. But John 9:22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, talking about Jesus, that Jesus was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. And, you know, John 16:2 is even more severe, that they will try and kill you and think they're doing God a favor if they kill you. When Paul preached in the synagogues that Jesus is the risen Christ, the believers in that gospel of God had to leave the synagogue and meet in Paul's meetings. Well, at first they did, at least. And with the exception of Thessalonica, where he got run out of town and he had to send Timothy back to teach them the gospel of Christ, how to be saved. But that included synagogue Jews and Greeks that had come to believe that Jesus was the risen Christ. That made them the church of God, not the body of Christ. It made them the church of God, just as they were just as those scattered little flock people were that Paul, or actually Saul of Tarsus at that time, he persecuted them. That was the church of God that existed before Paul was saved, before the body of Christ began, the church of God. When those church, well, let's call them believers in the gospel of God, When the gospel of God believers began meeting with Paul, Paul could begin preaching to them the gospel of Christ, how to be saved. That was part of his pattern, part of his manner, part of his mode of operation, that he would preach the gospel of Christ about who Jesus is first, and not preach how to be saved until the people understood that Jesus was not just some other guy that got killed. He was the Son of God, the Son of God. He didn't have an earthly father. He had a heavenly father and an earthly mother. So, let's see. Lost my place in my notes here. Where I don't want to repeat myself, but let's see. We were talking about those who had become Church of God people. They now believed the gospel of Christ. When Paul would preach the gospel of Christ to them, they would become part of, you know, you read in Romans 11:5-6, a remnant that was according to the election of grace. They chose grace. They elected grace, chose grace, chose the gospel that Paul was preaching. And even though they had been Jews, had come out of the synagogue, they chose to believe Paul's gospel of Christ. And they had been, you know, the remnant means they had been a small group of believers from Israel. Well, that's what they were, but they believed Israel. They believed Paul's doctrine, and they were called to do that. 1 Corinthians 7:18. They were called in on circumcision. into the body of Christ in a dispensation of the gospel. And that doesn't go on anymore. That was a brief period where there were two gospels. Israel was not... the nation of Israel was shut down totally. It was Lo Ammi. But God was still wooing individuals that had heard the message before, and for them to believe and become part of who he was calling them into, either into the body of Christ at that time or into Israel still at that time. Circumcision. Again, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 18. Check it out. Those who had become Church of God people, but had continued to believe Israel's future doctrine, the doctrine of the kingdom coming in the future, even though it wasn't immediate anymore, an immediate gospel, a gospel of, you know, the kingdom is here now, it's coming. It's still coming today. Not coming today, but today it's still in a future state, put it that way, state of being. So the scattered little flock, prophetic remnant is what that would be. Would be those that believed Israel's doctrine, even though the kingdom had been rejected, had been turned down by the high priest, the council, all those in Acts 6, verse 8 through the end of chapter 7. Those people in that situation, called the work, in Habakkuk 1:5, and in let me think where that is. The work is in Acts 13:41, I believe it is. But those people in that situation, opposing at the same time, but on the other side of it, from the a dispensation of the gospel, they had the choice which group to be in, according to the call of God on them at that time. Let's look at those verses in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17. But as God hath distributed to every man, singular, in other words, it's an individual thing, the way he would distribute it to each person, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all churches. Verse 18, so is any man called being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. In other words, stay in believing Israel. Is any called in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. So don't try to be a Jew or Messianic Jew or otherwise, or some other Jewish adaptation. Let me just post those verses here. 7, and we're looking at 17, 18, 19, and 20. Okay. Verse 19, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. You couldn't have said that before Paul. Circumcision is nothing. But, you know, we're not, sin won't have dominion over us in the body of Christ that believe Paul's gospel, that Christ died for our sins. Sin doesn't have dominion over us because we're not under the law, but under grace. Romans 6, what is it, 14, I think. So, circumcision is nothing, uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Verse 20, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Definitely two callings here, circumcision and uncircumcision. And at that time, according to verse 20, they could go into either one depending on how God was calling them. So that's, again, that's just for that brief, what was it, six chapter period in the whole history of the Bible, that there are two, one closing, one way of being saved or justified is closing down, while the other one is growing and being more known about as Paul traveled and preached. Although those provisions for they were for some of the people in the body of Christ, they were people in the body that were addressed as being in the work or in a dispensation of the gospel, that particular period of time again. We in the body of Christ today are in the dispensation of the grace of God, a different dispensing of God. We're saved by the same gospel message, I should say, same content to the gospel, but it's the audience is different, so there's a different name. It's not just to, I shouldn't say, it's not just sent to the Jew and the Greek anymore, as it was in a dispensation of the gospel. Today, in the dispensation of the grace of God, it's sent to all people. Now, there's a minor difference there, as far as, maybe I shouldn't say minor. There is a difference between who it went to and who it was sent to. You know, in other words, Paul was sent to the Jew and the Greek, but he could preach to anybody he wanted to. If he came to somebody, he could preach to them. He didn't quiz them, "Are you Jew and Greek so I can talk to you?" Don't find that anywhere there in Scripture. But we in the body of Christ today are in the dispensation of the grace of God, and we that are in the body of Christ today are not in the work, nor are we in that former dispensation of the gospel, which only existed from Acts 13 to Acts 19. You possibly could consider it from Acts 9 to Acts 19, but we don't find any preaching declared that any preaching of the gospel of Christ or gospel of salvation was going on between Acts 9 and Acts 13. By Paul. Well, because of that, those opportunities, those signs, those ordinances and accommodations, they do not apply to us. You know, men, you don't have to cut your hair real short in order to please God. Women, you don't have to let your hair grow. You don't have to wear head coverings that were, during that time, was an accommodation that the Jews and Greeks, the believing body of Christ, Jews and Greeks, would go through those things, and they had the tongues as a sign for the Jews. It was all for the Jews to facilitate the last few Jews coming in before that program was totally shut down in Acts 28, 25 through 29, actually. God wasn't working with the nation anymore after Acts 7, with any nation, actually. He was working with individuals, bringing, calling, wooing some of the Jews and Greeks that would still believe. He was wooing them into the body of Christ or into, you know, whichever, like we had said in 1 Corinthians 7, 17 to 20. Sixthly, and we want to try and get through this today, clave. Those that believed were separated. Clave to Paul. Acts 11:23. I think this is talking about Barnabas being sent from Jerusalem to check out Antioch. Who, when he came, had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart, in other words, on purpose, they would cleave unto the Lord. And then the verse we read before, at the end of the Athenian teaching that Paul taught in Athens, Acts 17:34, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others. Okay, we've been talking about, not coincidentally, but it was not the topic we were talking about a work in Habakkuk 1:5. Let's look at that more directly. Habakkuk 1:5, I should post it. Let me get that in here. Where's Habakkuk? That's in the Old Testament, right? Alright, let's see here. There. Behold you among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it be told you. Okay, that's the prophecy. Habakkuk prophesies to Israel. That's the ye in there. Behold ye among the heathen. Well, when is Israel among the heathen? You know, Habakkuk 1:5 is about Israel while they're among the heathen. The heathen Roman government was ruling Israel at the time of Jesus. Israel was among the heathen at the time of Jesus' earthly ministry, as well as many Israelites still scattered from previous exiles at that time, and the scattering from the persecution of Saul of Tarsus, too. They scattered. They were Israelites among the heathen. Again, Habakkuk 1:5, for I will work a work in your days. That's what he's calling it. I will work a work. It's a work, which you will not believe, though it be told you. You know, if they had believed, how would we be saved? You know, if Christ didn't get crucified without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And we're not only remitted to a future forgiveness, we're forgiven. Colossians 1:14, if you've got a real Bible, it says that we are forgiven. If you've got a different translation, it doesn't say that. In fact, it's just omitted. It doesn't say the forgiveness of sins. Romans 9:27-28, Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. And we've seen two remnants, one that finally believed that Jesus was the Messiah and entered the little flock, and one that the other remnant, not the prophetic remnant, it would be a grace remnant, according to the election of grace, that believed Paul's gospel and came into the body of Christ in that way. The number of the children of Israel shall be, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And that period, called a work or called a dispensation of the gospel, was a short time. I mean, Acts 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 7 chapters. And then it was done. Then we were into the dispensation of the grace of God, with the gospel being sent to all people, not just to the Jews and the Greeks. The prophesied work was that first part of Paul's and Barnabas's calling. I shouldn't say that, because it was the Jewish side. It wasn't the body of Christ side of that time period, looking at it from two sides, like two hemispheres. God was working with the Jews first, and that part was a short work. It was prophesied that there would be a work, but it was not prophesied what that work would be. Look in Acts 13, we'll read a few of the first four verses, the commissioning there of Paul in a dispensation of the gospel, with the gospel of Christ. There were in the church, this is Acts 13, 1 through 4, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Now this is Syrian Antioch, and it's certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, five people. Verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work which I have called, whereunto I have called them. Verse 3, and this is the sending of those prophets and teachers, and verse 4 would be the sending of the Holy Ghost. So in verse 3 it says, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on him, they sent him away. They sent them away, Barnabas and Saul. Verse 4, so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. So when they completed that verse 3 sending by the men in that group, the prophets and teachers, in Acts 14:23, I think it is, they completed it for 23 or 26. And that was the end of that commission. But the sending of the Holy Ghost in verse 4, Acts 13, 4, did not end then, and they were still sent unto the Jews and the Greeks until they were sent beyond that. In Acts 20, they were sent to all people, the sending that we benefit from today. The prophesied work was from Acts 13, 1 to Acts 20, verse 5. And during that period, in 1 Corinthians 9, 16 to 18, Paul also called that period a dispensation of the gospel of Christ. That was from about 44 A.D. to about 56 A.D. That would be, 12 years? 12 to 13 years. It was a short work. Only, it's been almost 2,000 years since then in the dispensation of the grace of God. So 12 years for a dispensation of the gospel was a short work. And from about 56 AD to 2017 today, it's about, 1,961 years, I think. So compare 12 short years to 1,961 years so far. That was a short work back then. And in some groups it's ignored. You look on these charts, the time charts, the grace charts, whatever you want to call them, right division charts. Try to find the gospel of Christ on those, on most of those. I know of two out of, I don't know how many there are out there, probably 10 different ones with a similar coloring, and they look pretty and everything, but they don't have the gospel of Christ on it. It's mentioned 11 times in the Bible. Well, okay. let's read through these verses that he says, starting in Romans 9:28, I think somebody had just posted it there. Thank you. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Verse 29, and as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. Verse 30, what shall we say then, that the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. And that's the thing that Israel didn't have. They didn't believe that Jesus was the risen Messiah. And that's what he's going into at the end of chapter 9 here, Romans 9:30. through the end of that chapter, through the first 10 verses of chapter 10 at least, he's talking about what Israel should have believed. It's not available anymore. It wasn't even at the time he wrote that. But it was available before they fell in Acts 7. That they... the faith. It's the faith, the same thing that Paul preached, the gospel of God, believing that Jesus was the risen Messiah. So that's the one remaining thing that Israel failed from. I mean, they kept the law, the Sabbath, the covenants, the circumcision, all these things they kept, but when it came to the one final thing, faith that Jesus is the Messiah, which is in the law, they fell there. It's in the law in Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 to 19. So let's go on with these verses that talk about the work. Acts 13:2, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Verse 13, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. And in connection with that, in Acts 15:38, Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them in Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Acts 13:41, "Behold, you despisers, and wonder and perish, for I will work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." And then Romans 9:28 again, "For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness." And we're about to close here. But giving individual Jews an extra 12 years to believe that Jesus is the risen Messiah was going above and beyond what was necessary after Israel fell, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. But God was still being gracious, as he is today. Overly gracious. I mean, just beyond imagination gracious. The riches of grace, it's called, I think, in the Bible. Okay, I'm done.